To continue on with our unit on endangered plant species, today we're going to be talking about carnivorous plants. Now, the main reasons why we cover carnivory in this unit is due to the overcollection of these unique plants by man. As you can imagine from the pictures you will see in your textbook, their unusual forms and their sheer size make rare carnivorous plants collectibles. Okay, so when you hear the word carnivore and relate it to the plant kingdom, you probably conjure up images from horror movies where the predatory Venus flytrap attacks humans. Am I right? Okay, well, let's put this myth to rest for now. Carnivorous plants do not have the strength or capability for trapping humans, nor, for the most part, amphibians, birds, or mammals. In isolated cases, carnivorous plants might manage to trap a frog or a rodent, but that's only if the entrapped victim is ill or near death already. There is a good reason why carnivorous plants are also referred to as insectivores. 99% of the time, it is insects that provide the nutrients that these plants lack. And that brings us to the definition I know you're all eager to jot down. I'm going to put this in point form on the board, but you'll find it on page 78 of your textbooks as well. A carnivorous plant is one that has four key features. It must have the capacity to attract, trap, and kill its prey, as well as being able to absorb its prey's nutrients. While almost all plants attract insects, and some either trap or kill insects on contact, all four features must be present in order for a plant to be classified as carnivorous. Bogs and wetland areas are the most common habitats for carnivorous plants, because unlike most plants, these feed on insects and do not require nitrogen from the soil. In a thin-soiled bog, the nutrient content is low, but the water and sunshine are plentiful. Therefore, the majority of carnivorous plants are also classified as aquatic species. So, we've covered the what and the where. Now let's talk about the how. When I say how, I mean, how does a plant become a predator? Well, this question is not easily answered, considering there are 9 genera of carnivorous plants with at least 600 species, each of which has a slightly different trapping mechanism. However, the 5 basic trapping mechanisms are pitfall, snap, bladder, lobster, and flypaper, and these can be examined quite closely. We're going to touch on the first 2 types today, and you'll read up about the other 3 in your assigned reading tonight. I say the first 2, the pitfall and the snap, but that's not how they fall in your textbook. If you don't have time to read the whole chapter, you'll have to flip back and forth a bit to find the other 3. So, the first on the list is the pitfall trap, which is typical of a pitcher plant. Through the course of evolution, this trap has transformed from a simple rolled leaf to a complex snare. The sun pitcher plant, which can be found in areas of South America that receive heavy precipitation, is one example of a pitcher plant. At one time, the sun pitcher was probably nothing more than a curled up leaf that had the capacity of catching rainwater. Over the years, this leaf became more efficient by sealing its margins. However, natural selection had to account for an overflow problem. Eventually, the sun pitcher developed a small slit at the leaf margin where excess water could be released. More evolved pitcher plants have a flared leaflet at the opening. It is in these areas where insects get trapped. Many pitcher plants contain an intoxicating nectar bribe and a waxy or thorny overhang at the top. This attracts the insect and then makes it too slippery or sharp for them to exit. A pool of digestive enzymes help the pitcher plant absorb the nutrients from its prey. The second type of trap is the snare trap. This is the trapping mechanism that the Venus flytrap relies on to capture and ingest its prey. These plants have specifically designed leaves with a built-in motion detector. Insects are attracted to the sweet nectar on an open leaf. After landing in the sweet spot, tiny mechanisms called trigger hairs are brushed and the leaves snap shut around the insect. It is unknown exactly how the Venus flytrap knows to snap shut, since plants don't have brains. However, it's likely due to tension and pressure. Now, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk in depth about the conservational threats surrounding carnivorous plants and why horticulturalists have started using tissue cultures or growing carnivorous plants from seed rather than snatching full-grown samples from the wild. As environmental advocates, we are all responsible for educating those around us so that generations that follow have the opportunity to observe these and other exceptional species.